الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected علماء الكرام elders, brothers and young ones in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته One of the features of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this ummah a very balanced ummah. If we look at the verses of the Quran, one particular verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا We have made you a very, very balanced. And this is a feature. There are no extremities in this system of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected for mankind and for this ummah and for you and I. But in order to understand the virtue, the blessing, some of us may take this for granted, that what is it? What does it mean to be balanced, to be moderate? Well, for us to get an understanding and to appreciate, it is indeed a very, very, very great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we analyze the various aspects of deen, this beautiful system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put down for us, then it makes it very, very easy for a person to follow it because we have this feature of it being a very, very balanced and very easy and simple deen. Now, in order to understand what is moderation, then one needs to understand what are extremes. Because extremes are also of two types. Extremes, we get the problem on the one extreme of falling short, which we call tafriyat in Arabic. And the other extreme is the extreme of exceeding the bounds. We have the extreme that you are supposed to do up to a certain amount, but you surpass that. So this is called ifrat, exceeding the bounds. Extremes are also of two types. So in order to understand what we mean by the moderation of this deen, then perhaps it is useful to think of a piece of string and to try and find the middle path. The string has the left side and it has the right side. And we need to find that middle path. And this is what our deen again and again throughout different aspects, different dimensions of our deen, as we will discuss today and we will highlight and illustrate, it emphasizes upon following a balanced path. Right from the word go, right from the beginning when we look at our aqaid, when we look at the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here if we look at society, we find extremes. The one extreme is that you reject the existence of an Almighty. That you believe that all of this came into existence on its own. The intricacies of the heart, the intricacies of the brain, the intricacies of the solar system, the universe, the knowledge that exists, the sheer quantum of knowledge and complexities of things around us, all of that just, it bang and it came into existence on its own. That's the one foolish extreme. That is the one foolish extreme. And the other extreme is the extreme of taking things like stones, animals, human beings, other human beings, treating them as deities and gods. So these extremes existed. They existed in the past. They exist today, just perhaps in slightly different forms. But those extremes exist today also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that the balanced path in this is to recognize a deity and to recognize one deity, the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whose power all of this lies. In whose power, through whom the entire universe has been created and in whose power the power to manipulate and control this universe exists. So this is at one level. Then if we go further and we analyze with regards to belief in the prophets, then here too in history if we analyze there were different extremes. There was the extreme of those people who rejected the prophets entirely. and went to the extent of accusing them of immoral things, and even to the extent of killing them in certain situations. Allah Ta'ala protect us from that type of behavior. And then we have the other extreme that the Quran Sharif itself talks about, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ, that some of the prophets were elevated to the status of gods. But again here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us a very, very beautiful system, a very, very beautiful path, that the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a very, very special messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is not a god. He is not a god. And this is emphasized by various aspects. If we look at the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, O those who have believed, take note that Allah and His malaika send salutations. What does that tell us? That even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in need of the blessings and of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, it also tells us that our blessings, our du'as for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot do justice, because he is of such a high caliber, of such a high status. So again, a balance between the rights of the Nabi, and also recognizing the place and where the Nabi and the Prophet of the time takes in our deen and our system. So this is another level of where we find this balance and this moderation with regards to this system of Islam. Then if we analyze another element, which is very, very relevant to you and I, and that is moderation with regards to our relationship in this world. Here too Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, here too there are two extremes. There is the extreme of the monks, of the monasteries of this world, of other cults and sects that teach you to divorce yourself entirely and not have anything to do with the world. That's the one extreme. And then there's the other extreme, to fall headlong into materialism, to be obsessed with the accumulation of the things of this world. Both sides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned in the Holy Quran if we look at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَهْبَانِيَةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. If you look at what the monks did, that they divorced themselves totally from this world. They lived unnatural lives. They lived difficult lives, miserable lives. They made it difficult upon themselves and those around them. Allah says, we didn't ask them to do this. This is not what we wanted from you. On the other hand, you look at the other extreme. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us about in the Quran Kareem, that قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Allah says that, tell them, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall we tell you about the biggest loser? Shall we tell you about the biggest loser in this world, who came and went and he didn't achieve anything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those who were obsessed purely in the accumulation of the things of this world, whether it be the accumulation of material wealth, status, position, power, but they forgot about the other half of the equation. And all that is required is that to keep the balance towards akhirat greater than the balance towards the dunya. And this is highlighted. So in other words, we like to understand things in numbers nowadays. So perhaps if I put it in this way, it will be appropriate. 51% of your efforts, at least 51%, should be for the akhirat, so that you do not get caught wanting on the day of Qiyamah. And let me highlight this by a verse of the Quran Kareem in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ, say to them, tell them, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ. If your family members, your fathers, your children, your wives, your tribes, your family, you know, your family status, who you are in society, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and this wealth that you are involved in gathering, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and these businesses whose loss you are continuously in fear about. What's going to happen to the exchange rate? What's going to happen when I need to make the payments now after the busy season? You're worried about it. It's consuming you. It's not a problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just saying, in kana, all of these things, ahabba ilaykum. The word used is ahabba, the superlative. If it is more beloved to you, we don't have a problem if you are concerned about these things. You pay attention to these things within reason. But if it is ahabba ilaykum, if it is more beloved to you, min Allahi wa rasulihi, then Allah and His Rasul, wa jihadin fi sabilihi, and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then fatarabbasu hatta ya'ti Allahu bi amri, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and punishment comes. Then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and punishment comes. So this is again the balance with the link of this world. If we look at our pious predecessors, in fact, if we look at the hadith, the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful du'as. Beautiful du'as. If we look in the, so much of moderation, even in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one du'a, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma la taj'ali dunya akbar hammina. Don't make this dunya the main primary occupation of my mind. It shouldn't be consuming me. To the extent that it is required, it is fine. In another hadith, another dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the sahaba to say that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min batri al-ghina wa madhallati al-faqr. Balance. That, oh Allah, protect me from the pride that sometimes creeps into a person when he becomes very, very wealthy. Protect me from that pride. That pride of that person, the disdain that he has for others. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains what is pride. Pride is failure to see the truth. Failure to accept the truth. You know about it. But just because of your wealth, because of your status, because of your power, that you fail to submit to the truth. That is the one definition of pride. And the other one is ghamtun nas, looking down upon people. We have no right to look down upon people simply because of some wealth or some power that we may have. This is an extreme. It is an extreme that people in the past suffered major, major losses and huge calamities for. People who thought that they had great power so that they could look down upon others, they suffered disastrous consequences. So let us be aware of the fatal flaw of falling into extremes. And the other part of the dua was, وَمَذَلَّةِ الْفَقْرِ. I know Allah, I protect you, I seek your protection. I seek your protection from the outward disgrace. The outward disgrace that comes when a person is extremely poor. That people don't have any regard for him. So this is the balance in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, the beauty of our deen is this. The beauty of our deen is this. The moderation of this deen is this. That the yardstick for success or failure has not been placed in terms of your wealth, your status and your power in this world. This is the moderation of this deen. The moderation of this deen is that not everyone is required to have big bank balances in order to have passed the trial of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very, very clearly that إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ. And this is a yardstick, this is a status, this is a goal that each and every one of us sitting here can achieve. That the most noble amongst you, the most successful amongst you, are those who have the greatest consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to further illustrate this point about how we should be living in this world, my Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, rahmatullahi alayh, used to say this verse of poetry, dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wa ba khuda rahe. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wa ba khuda rahe. In all the hustle and bustle and busyness of this world, those people who are the friends of Allah, who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are together with Allah. They're together with Allah in their hearts. Wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe. Together with being with everyone, at the same time they are disassociated from everyone in the sense that they are linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one verse of poetry, very beautiful poetry, that Allama Nawawi, the compiler of Riyadus Salihin, and the commentator of Muslim Sharif, he says, that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا فُطَنَا. First to understand that how did the pious predecessors of the past, how did our ulama, how did our righteous ones pass their life in this world? What was their attitude towards the world? Was it total disregard? Total, you know, they say, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah, they say that laat maro, dunya ko laat maro, kick the dunya. But leave that person for 3 days without food and see if he's got enough energy to also kick the dunya. He won't have enough energy. So you need to balance it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse of poetry very beautifully says, Inna lillahi ibadan futana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some very intelligent servants. طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنة. They have disassociated themselves with the world in the sense that they don't get obsessed with it. نظروا فيها فلما علموا أنها ليست لحي وطنا. When they reflected that this is not a place for everlasting abode, جعلوها لجة. They treated it like a deep sea. وَاتَّخَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفُنَا. They treated this dunya like a sea and they made their good deeds that ships on the sea. Now will the ship be able to sail without the sea around it? Will that ship, will your good deeds, can you carry out your good deeds if you never ever come in this dunya? Can anyone do good deeds in alam barzakh or after you leave this dunya? It's impossible. So this is the place where you're going to make it or break it, as they say. This is that place. Nevertheless, this was one other dimension of this moderation that we are talking about our deen has. Another very, very important aspect with regards to moderation, which is very relevant in our times today, is moderation with regards to our views and opinions. Our views and opinions. When we have an opinion on something on which it is very possible, there is no deeni law on that, there is no clear-cut verse of the Quran or ahadith to say that this is the way it should be, then to be so hard and fast on that. And remember, this is not only in deeny things. I'm talking about family issues. I'm talking about business matters. Partners in a business. Family members. Managements of charitable institutions. That just to be stubborn on something, to be bent on accepting that the opinion must go, the decision must go in your way, otherwise it's no other way. This is totally, totally abhorred in our deen. This is something that we have never found, and never has it ever been a sign of a community and a society that is going to make progress in this dunya and also in the akhirat. In fact, if we analyze in the history of Islam, one occasion, one of the companions of Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, I think it was, or one of the great akabir of the past, one of his students spent many, many years with him. He spent many, many years with him. Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayhi. One of his students spent many years with him. And after that long period of time, he decided to depart and to go back to his hometown to do the work of deen and khidmat in his own hometown. And he asked for some parting advices. So what do you think the parting advices were? The parting advices that Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi gave his student of many years. He tells him that don't ever lay claim to prophethood and don't ever lay claim to divinity. Don't lay claim. So he was shocked. He said, "Oh Sheikh, so many years I'm with you. Do you think after all these years, these are the two things I'm going to go after? Divinity and prophethood. If you told me about my nafs, watch out for my nafs, watch out for greed, what I could have understood. But what do you mean by this? Don't lay claim to divinity and don't lay claim to prophethood." So the Sheikh said that, he said, "My student, my friend, be aware when you go outside there, don't ever think that your opinion can never ever change. Because you are not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't ever think that you are only right. Don't ever feel that way. Because that will be like you are claiming divinity and you are claiming prophethood." So this is a very, very critical issue. When we analyze things, when we sit in situations, and that is the reason that we face so many problems, because each one wants to be on their own, stay on their own side. Not prepared to, for a moment, remove yourself from the situation and try and understand it from the other person's perspective. Try sometimes and understand it from the other person's perspective. You will see a totally different light. And it is a sign of intelligence, it is a sign of piety, and it is a sign of the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, has promised. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا رَابِضٌ لِبَيْتٍ فِي أَنَا ضَامِنٌ لِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْحَقَّ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَهُ مُحِقٌ. I stand as a guarantor. Who's standing as a guarantor? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I stand as a guarantor for a plot, for a house in the middle of Jannah. In the, you know, as we would say, in the most elite, the best suburbs, the best areas, the prime space of Jannah, for that person who leaves out a dispute when he is right. When he is right. What kind of understanding, what kind of forbearance, what kind of tolerance must that require? These words are easily said, but to implement it at that time that there's a dispute, to hold back and to take a step back and say that no, this is how I'm going to do it purely because I want to save the situation. These examples are there. These examples are there. These teachings are there in our deen. In fact, the other area where we can talk about moderation with is with regards to family ties. Where a problem has happened some time ago, now there's a stalemate, so each side is blocked out from the other. Each side hates every single atom of the other side. But this is not the way that deen has taught us. In fact, if you look at some sayings of the past, a wise person in the past said, "Ahbib habibaka hawnamma." In love and in hatred, you must have moderation. Even in love, too much of love also is not good for the wrong things. "Ahbib habibaka hawnamma, asa ayyakuna baghidaka yawmamma." A wise person once said that when you love something, then also love it in moderation. Or love that person in moderation. Because it shouldn't happen that that same person one day turns around to be the one you hate the most. وَأَبْغِضْ بَغِيضَكَ هَوْنَمَّا عَسَىٰ أَيَّكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمَمَّا. And if you hate someone, then let that also be in moderation. That if you have anger, there's a justifiable reason for you to have that, then let it be in moderation. Because without anger, can a person have bravery? If you go on the battlefield and there's no anger, no anger, you kind and loving and soft and kind-hearted at that time. No, there's got to be a balance in the emotions. There's a time and there's a place for everything. At the time when someone passes away, at that time a person's heart should melt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time his son Hazrat Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away, he started tearing. So sahaba that were around him, some of them were Bedouin sahaba. They came from very harsh background, harsh tribes that were always kept a stern face on the front. So they said that they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun." We are extremely grieved with your passing, O Ibrahim. He was a human being after all. The emotions were there. That time and that space to let the emotions flow is also recognized in our deen. And he tells the other sahaba that this is also part of our deen, to express emotions when a person passes away. And failure to express emotions is a sign that that person is devoid of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we hear of our brothers and sisters that are suffering all around the world, and we fail for a moment to feel that difficulty, or when we drive by an old woman who's finding it difficult to even take a few steps, and we pass by in our motor car, does it cause any kind of feeling in our hearts? Is that moderation there with regards to our feelings? With regards to how we should be feeling towards humanity? Then, nevertheless, there are many, many other dimensions with regards to this. Another area that we can talk about moderation, coming to these times particularly, is the area of spending. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-iqtisadu fi nafaqati nisful ma'ishati." Al-iqtisadu fi nafaqati nisful ma'ishati. Actually, the word for economics in Arabic is iqtisad. Iqtisad means to adopt the balance path. It means, anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-iqtisadu fi nafaqati nisful ma'isha." Being balanced in the way that you spend is half of livelihood. In other words, half a person's sustenance he can secure and he can manage effectively purely by making sure that he spends his money correctly. Purely by making sure that we spend our money correctly. Obviously, it's also important that we ensure that our earnings are done in a correct manner. Our earnings are done in a manner that is consistent with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also again in our deen, in our activities of deen, there's so much of emphasis on moderation, on being, in one riwayat, just to highlight this aspect so we understand that this deen is a very, very practical system of life. It is not something that expects us to do unnatural things. But remember here, when we talk about natural and unnatural, we're not talking about my thinking and your thinking. We're talking about what has come down to us authentically from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we talk about moderation also, another point to bear in mind that in today's day and age, our problem with extreme is the extreme of falling short. By and large. By and large, the extreme of falling short. Our sunan in salah, how many people are performing the salah correctly in the manner that it should be performed? With attention and full concentration. So this is another area. Yes, on the other hand, balance in deen is also taught. I was relating the incident on one occasion, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal, Sahaba, he used to perform the salah sometimes when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not with them. And Sahaba complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he recites very, very long surahs. Like some people might complain nowadays also. But those, when they say long, it was very long. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, called Hazrat Mu'adh, and he said that, are you distancing people away from the deen? Look how seriously it was taken. And this is something that if we look at our pious predecessors, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi, so much of emphasis he used to make, I remember, on how long are you going to take? How quickly did you finish the talk? How long will you take for your salah? Why not to inconvenience people? All of this is the beautiful moderation in our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand it holistically, to implement it in a manner that is pleasing to him. And may he remove the difficulties, the hardships and the calamities facing the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.